Chapter 3, I felt like the Lord touched our heart this morning about this verse, Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. If you look with me there in the scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, and we'll look at verse number 1 right there, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, at verse 1. The Bible said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God had given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also has set the world in their heart, and so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Well, Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and he's making a claim here about there's a season and there's a time and every purpose under the heaven. And we must realize that when he wrote this, he's talking about the earth, what's under the heaven. And he told us here, thank God, some practical wisdom about earthly living here in the Scriptures. Just a little old simple thought this morning, friend, but it's an important thought that we need to bring to our minds and know, thank God, that God wants us to think about it today. The Bible said in verse number 2, he said there's a time to be born and a time to die. I want to preach today on that thing about dying, about death, about dying. Solomon said there is a time to be born and then there's a time to die. Every man will have that on his tombstone one day. If you walk through a graveyard or a cemetery, you'll find on the grave a time that man was born and a time that man died. Well, I'll tell you this, if you walk through a cemetery, a good enough size one, you'd find somebody there your age. It don't matter how old you are, death has no respecter of persons. I believe we live in a day that we kept captivated by a sinful world and captivated by, my friend, things around us that we hardly ever stop to think about dying. Well, who wants to think about dying? Nobody much at all thinks about it, but it's a fact we're going to die. It don't matter who you are. Thank God the Bible said there's a time to die. He did say it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, what? The judgment. That every man's got an appointment with death. I'm glad Christ died for my sins. But I know the earthly man's going to die. Thank God that what lives within me will live forever. But death, praise God's a victory for the child of God. But for them that's lost, the Bible said he lifts up his eyes in hell. If a man dies without God, then he's facing the judgment of God. It don't take you long to look around you to see what death has done. Homes a day got separation because of it. My friend, parents have left this world. Children have left this world unexpectedly, but not unexpected to God. Amen. If you thought the fact of it is that when you got in your vehicle to travel to the house of God, that about were apart from the hedge of the Lord, how many times, friend, has God kept us from an early grave? How many times has God
what kept us from dying. Amen. I mean, it don't take much for a man to die. God's got his breath and his heartbeat. If God pulled it, you'd be laying on this canvas this morning. That's exactly right. There's men that's died all kind of ways to die. Hey, God, I've known the people dying in immediate death, a heart attack. You know, I've heard people say, well, we don't really know what happened to him, but he died. Hey, man, listen, friend, God don't have to give you a warning about it and tell you, I'm giving you this much of time and let you get right with God. Hey, friend, death comes a sudden. Death comes fast. I mean, you run up the road and look and see the cemetery and just think about a cemetery and know, brother, that the sin that Adam committed brought death on a human race. Everything dies. Everything dies hard. Nothing dies easy. And God, Jesus yielded up the ghost when he died. But mankind dies. He fights it. It's a hard go. I've been by the bed of some that had died. I've seen that. Ain't got that needle. My friend, on that life support. Go from there to there. I've seen them draw their last breath and go out into eternity. I've been by the bedside of many like that. Some saved and some unsaved. I've sat with families as they've seen loved ones wither away in their own body and go out to meet God. I'm just saying this morning that all men die. It don't matter who you are. You're going to face it one day. And you better be prepared when you die. I tell you, can't do it after you're dead. But you better make sure while you're living. Hey, God, coffins weren't made for dead men. They were made for living men. And I'm telling you this, everybody has got a day to die. Job said he's got days. He's got months. He's got years that God's appointed. But he's got a boundary line that no man can pass. Amen. That's right. Not a one of us can pass that day. So let me ask you a question this morning. Thank God, if the day was the day that God said this is it, you'll not live past this day. Is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? I'll ask you this too. What about it? What kind of life have you lived? What kind of record would be before them that would sit there and listen to that preacher? Would it be a good record? Thank God, or would it not be a good record? Hey, friend, are you living like you'd want to die? Billy Sunday said a man can't die right if he don't live right. I'll say amen to that. Brother, there's all kind of ways men died in the Bible. I want to mention a few of them and then we'll be through. I want to say first of all that them men outside the ark died perishing. They drowned in the floodwaters of the judgment of God. That when Noah and his family entered into the ark, and 7 days later God shut the door, the rain began to fall. That's the first time a raindrop had ever come out of a cloud. But when the raindrop fell, judgment fell too. And for 40 days and 40 nights, God rained judgment on an earth. My friend and old people on the earth, God rained judgment. And God said all flesh died. Everybody died in the flood. Beside them that were in the ark, they died perishing. I can imagine. Listen, I'm not being ugly. I'm preaching your heart. This is gospel truth. I can imagine on that day, as the waters got up to about waist deep, as climbing everywhere to try to escape it. But there was no escape. It was not. God had done mark that day. day that the God of heaven would bring rain. And I could imagine daddies and mamas and them little boys and little girls and that little old boy looking up to daddy and saying, "Daddy, what we gonna do? This rains are, this waters are getting deeper and deeper. I can, my friend, see now." Daddy looked at that little old boy and said, "Son, I don't know what we're going to do. Hey, listen, that preacher had done told them that it's going to rain. You better run to John. You better listen to what the man of God says." But when the rain came, it said all flesh perished in it. There wasn't none living in it. I'm telling you, everybody and whose nostrils had breath, they were drowned in the floodwaters. They all died. I'm talking about a race of people on earth at that time. Hey, man, that was like in the day, amen. That's right. The number of the race in that day. It said, "As the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." It had to be a great population of people in that day of Noah, that when only 8 souls were saved on an ark that the man of God prepared, only 8 people out of a race of millions of people, no doubt, perished as the waters fell. And listen, friend, they died perishing. They died without God. I tell you, friend, that's sad. But we live in a day people don't even think about death. And preachers have shortcutted it and sugarcoated it to the fact that we got a race car heaven now. We got my friend, ain't got a ballpark heaven. We got a country music heaven. We got all these people going to heaven, but they never have been saved. They never have had no fruit for God. And they say, "Yeah, we're going to heaven." You know, you listen to people. Listen to what I'm about to say. I love my loved ones. I've got some that's went on before me. Thank God. And then I'll see one day. And don't you get upset at what I'm about to say. But when people want to see loved ones more than they do the Redeemer, I tell you, it's more sentimental to them, thank God, than it is who we want to see is the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, I want to go thank God because I'm saved, and because I want to see Jesus. I tell you, when we want to see somebody else besides Him, it's a good mind that them people don't know nothing about being saved, know nothing about going to heaven, know nothing about God. And they just made heaven for everybody. But I tell you, all the redeemed of God will be there. Only them that's on the ark of safety will be in there, friend. And if you're not saved, you won't be there. It don't matter who you are. Thank God they died perishing outside the ark. Amen. That's right. I won't say this morning. No, they died perishing outside the ark. Listen to this. The rich man died in pleasure outside the fold. The rich man died and was buried. The Bible said in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment. He died in pleasure. You know, this man had everything that a man could possibly have in this day. Amen. The day he lived, he had good clothes. He had my fared sumptuously every day. He lived in luxury. But he never considered God one bit. We're living in a day and hour where we are so consumed with the pleasure world. We're so consumed about the comforts of this world instead of the home we have in heaven. And there's sinners today sitting in here and outside the house of God that they're more concerned about pleasure and more concerned about pleasing their flesh and they are pleasing a holy God. Hey, I want to ask you a question. Why would anybody want to go to heaven when heaven's not in them? Hey, man, I mean, if you live like hell here, then why would you want to go to heaven over there? I'll tell you, friend, that's no such a thing. Men go to heaven because heaven's in them, because God's in them. And when a man dies, friend, it's too late to do anything then about it. The Bible said he lifted up his eyes in hell. The Bible said he is in torment. That's what the book said.
He died in pleasure. He died pleasing His flesh. That's all the world teaches today. That's what the school system and the world systems, they teach, just please your flesh. They teaching little old children to please the flesh. You'd be surprised at some of the filth that goes on under the name, my friend, of education in this day. Teaching little old boys and girls about pleasing and gratifying the flesh. Amen, that's right. Teaching these things to the others, amen, and saying that you can have what you want. Well, you can have what you want, but there's a cost with it. There's always a cost with what you want. And if you want the flesh, that's what you'll get. And that's where you'll end up. And they said, they that after the flesh do reap the things of the flesh. And he said, then that in the flesh can't please God. And he said this, he said, then that after the flesh, and so after the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's right. That's what that man had. Oh yeah, he was a big man. I mean, he had a palace probably, and had clothes of majesty, and sat at a table and fared sumptuously. But there was a day God said it's time to die, and the Bible said, and he died, and he lifted up his eyes in hell, and he became a beggar. That's right. He wasn't a beggar here, but he was a beggar there. And when he went to hell, friend, he began to beg for water. He began to beg for comfort. He began to beg for Lazarus. He began to beg for somebody to get him out of torment. And it was too late because he died in his sin. Amen. That's right. He began to beg. He never begged while he was on earth. That's right. But that little old beggar outside the gate, thank God he wasn't begging after he died. He was in Abraham's bosom. Had been carried there by the angels. Amen. That's right, brother. There's a way this man died. He died in pleasure. And there's a lot of young people dying in pleasure. Hey, do you recognize there's more young people that die in the day than they used to? That's right, because it's all a pleasure world. Amen. Drunkenness, filthiness of the flesh. And they live like that and they die like that. Amen, preacher. That's right. People are living like they're never going to die. People's living like it never will happen. They're living like this world's a home forever. Amen. That's right. It won't happen, friend. They'll die the way they live. That's right. Amen. So they died. He died in pleasure. Don't say this. Belshazzar died in pride. Let me read this verse to you in the book of Daniel. He said he lifted up himself against the Lord of heaven. Daniel told him, and the God in whose thy breath is and whose are all thy ways hast thou not glorified. The handwriting was against him on the wall, and he said, this night. And so what did that handwriting say to Belshazzar that took the things of the temple and poured wine and had a feast and had a big party things that he said against God, praise the gods of gold and the gods of wood and the gold and silver, and they got them vessels and they took the vessels of the house of God. Hey friend, they took it lightly and they drank wine and they had a big time. That's right. But can I tell you what? God wrote on his wall. Amen. That's right. And he said this, he said, there's a handwriting of a man's hand on the wall. And he began to shake. His loins were loosed and he began to shake. And that rhyme said, "Meeny, meeny, tickle, tickle, you parson, you parson." And he brought all his magicians and astrologers. And they said, "King, we can't read that." And I know they can't, because it's God's writing. And the world can't read what God writes. And they said, "There's a man that can interpret that. And his name's Daniel." They brought Daniel in. And Daniel didn't sugarcoat it. Daniel didn't hug his neck and say, "Hey, buddy, let me tell you this." He said, "King, you're found wanting."
That's right.
That's what he said. You know what that means, don't you? I'll tell you what it means. He said, it means you don't have what it takes.
Yeah.
He said, you're weighing the balances and found wanting. That means you're lacking.
That's right.
That's right. And your kingdom's ended. And you're going to face death, sir. That's right. You know what he did? He died in pride. Oh yeah. It won't happen to me. That's what people say. Oh, it won't happen to me. It couldn't happen to me.
I mean, I got plenty of time. I'm a young man. I'm a pretty good person. I'm all right. It ain't going to happen to me. I'm not going to die.
Don't you fool yourself and be deceived in your own self. Son, an aneurysm could hit your heart right now and knock you over.
Yeah,
that's right. If God took His mighty, gross, merciful hand off you, I tell you what, you could get hit head on going to the house.
Yeah.
Knock you out in eternity. Amen. That's right. It don't hate praying. You listen to me this morning. There's a lot of people think I'm above it. That's not going to happen. When I get old one day and I lay on the bed, maybe, and maybe I'll live at 80 or 90. I tell you that promise tomorrow. You don't know how long you're going to live. He said there's a day to die. He didn't say when it was. He just said there was a day. That's right. Don't say that. That's right. Some of you lost this morning. Need to get saved. You never have been saved. You know, I've thought about this. It's a big chance to take to go to hell. That's a big chance. I mean, if you think about this thing, you're not dealing with time. You're not dealing with Abraham that's 100 years old. You're not even dealing with Methuselah that's 969 years old. Methuselah lived 969 years and he died. And I preached the funeral of a 9-year-old boy one time. And he died. And he went to the same ground. And eternity. That Methuselah went to. What's time compared to eternity? Hey, man. God help us all. You're too worldly. You're too earthly minded. You're too concerned about now than you are there. You take more time about now than you do there.
Yeah.
About every one of you. To be honest. You got your mind here more than you do there. That's why death don't think you don't think nothing about it. Right by the funeral home. You see cars, you know, I go by the funeral home, I see cars there and I say, you know, I've been there a lot. I preach a lot of funerals. And I got to thinking the other day, I just hadn't preached none lately. And I thought, you know, God's been merciful to us and gracious to us.
That's
right. But it's going to happen.
Amen.
It's going to happen.
Amen.
I don't know who's the next funeral I'll preach. I couldn't tell you. And I'll tell you this, I don't know who's going to... It might be mine if somebody come in and preach.
Amen.
Could be.
Could be.
Old Brother Melvin might be in here preaching to y'all. He's going to preach the funeral if he ain't dead before me. Brother Larry, some of them old men of God. But I'll tell you this. I don't know who the next is going to be, but that sure is going to happen sometime.
Yeah. Right.
You live your life every day like it's never going to happen. So I'll say this, Samson died in power. You can look at his life all you want to and take and tear it apart, but that man died in power. That day he come out between them two pillars and had that little old lad. Thank God. He said, show me where they at. And he prayed to the holy God of heaven and said, Lord, strengthen me just one more time and I might avenge these Philistines of my two own eyes. And he took them pillars and he pushed them down. Thank God. I know he died with them. And the Philistines he killed at his death was more than he killed in his life. But I know one thing. He died in power. I'll tell you that. Died in power. That's right. He better believe it. He's in the Hebrews 11 of the book of faith.
Yes.
I'll say this too. The thief on the cross died in pardon.
Yeah.
If there was ever a man, you know, we hear people pray this and I don't guess there's nothing wrong with it. Lord, save them that's nearest hell. And if there was anybody near hell, he was. But I'm going to tell you what, he's no nearer hell than you near hell. Who's the closest to hell? Only God knows that.
Right.
Amen. That's right. Son, old Jonathan Edwards preached that sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and he probably read it. Have you ever read that message, son? He probably read that message. He prayed and fasted for days before he ever preached it. And some of them old men, they were so intellectual and smart and meditated on the Word of God that most of the messages that some of them men preached in the days, a lot of them, they got up and read it. But there was so much power on it, that's the key.
Yeah.
That them men were grabbing hold of the pillars of the church thinking they was about to slide into hell.
Yeah.
That's right. They said that. You read it. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. His foot shall slide in due time. Vengeance is God's. If anybody's been close to hell, that was a man on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
That said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
Yes, he did.
He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He died in pardon.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, you know, he lived a wicked life all his life. And in the last minutes of his life, he's the only deathbed repentance I ever see in the Scripture.
Yeah.
Amen. How do you know you can ever have a deathbed repentance? You can't repent unless God grants it to you. And you don't know whether you'll ever be on a bed of repentance. You'll never know whether your body will lay on the bed somewhere that you'll have a mental mind that you could even grasp.
Amen.
You can't even think. I've seen people die, couldn't even think.
Yeah.
I saw a man that lived in Granite Quarry. I picked up his children to go to church. He worked on cars. He never come to church. I tried to help the family and loved them, tried to help them. And they called me one day and said he's laying in the hospital. He's had an aneurysm to the brain. And they said, would you come see him? Me and my wife went up there to see that man. I walked in the room. I called him by name. There wasn't no movement. None. Tried to talk to him. They always tell me hearing's the last thing that goes in somebody. I stood over that bed and tried to talk to that man. No response. Prayed and left. 2 days later he died. I preached his funeral.
Yeah.
Graveside service. As far as I know, that man never got saved. Never. 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 That's what I'm saying. I don't know where the thought comes at. You know, I'll get saved later. I'll make it right later. How do you know you even got later? Just like the rich fool that said, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. This night. So I'm going to say the thief died in pardon. He lived a wicked life. Well, on Calvary's cross there hung Christ.
Yeah.
And beside him, two thieves. One saved and went to paradise. One died lost and went to hell.
Yeah.
Right beside Jesus. You ever thought about that other one? He was right beside Jesus.
Amen.
He was right beside Christ on the cross. That's how close he was.
Yeah.
And he died lost. He didn't have pardon. And I'll say this and I'm through. Stephen died in peace. Listen to this here. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this in their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He seen Jesus standing at the right hand of God.
Yeah.
He fell asleep. Fell asleep. That's what the book said. He fell asleep. That meant his body went to sleep.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus said, oh, there, don't sorrow them that's asleep. Because they're with the Lord. He fell asleep. Man, if you look at somebody that's sleeping, thank God, I think that man fell asleep. He's dying in peace. Wait a minute, he's being stoned. And he's asking the Lord to forgive them for stoning him. They didn't ask the Lord to forgive them. He asked the Lord to forgive them for stoning him. He died in peace.
Yeah.
Just happened to be a young man there that day that held the clothes of them. That man stoned him and was hollering, kill him, kill him, kill him.
Yeah.
And two chapters later,
yeah,
he died to self.
Mm-hmm.
And the religion.
Amen.
His name was Saul. And he became Paul.
And then 2 Timothy 4 and 8, thank God, he said, I'm ready to be offered up and my departure's at hand. Die in peace. Amen. I've saw him die in peace. Been around the bed. See him die in peace. Like old preacher Mick Jarrett said, he said, I feel the waters. He said, about ankle deep. And buddy, the closer he got to leaving out, thank God, he felt the waters of heaven flooding his soul, brother. But can I tell you this? You can't die like that unless you've been saved, unless you've been born again, unless you live right, you can't die right. And I'll be honest with you today. We just don't live the way we want to die sometimes. If you took in consideration your actions and your conversation, that I wonder if this really does matter when I'm dying. People fight over money and fight over authority and fight over all kinds of things in this world. When they die, it means nothing. How will you die? If I got a phone call today and said, Danny had a heart attack and he died. Well, I remember Pete passing. I preached that revival meeting. They called up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and said, Pete's had a heart attack. In the back, Pete passed away. Shocked me. It's been a lot of death shocked me. But I'll tell you what, one day you're going to face it.
Yeah.
How are you going to face it?
Yeah.
Then I'll ask you this, Satan, child of God, what's your affection been on? Are you ready to die? Oh, I know what they say. God won't give you grace for that until it comes to that time. I understand no less. But I'm telling you, there is a life that we live every day. And are we ready to die?
Right.
Is our sin confessed? Is our life right with God? Are we ready to be God's? Solomon said, and talking about the course of life in general, this is the wheel. This is what turns. This is turned in my life. There's a time to be born. November 25th, 1959. But there's a time to die.
Yes, there is.
Are you saved? Are you born again? Just let me know. Because when it happens, I want to know. When I'm out of pulpit, I can look to a congregation and say, according to their word of testimony and their life of testimony, they're with Jesus. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Are you ready? How will you die? Let's stand this morning.